Okay, and welcome, Bobby.
All right, thank you, Judith, and thank you, everyone. Bobby, alcoholic. God separated me from alcohol on February 17th, 2008, and through the practice of the 12 steps, the fellowship, and service, I have not picked up a drink or drug since that time. And life just keeps getting better and better and better all the time, staying in the middle of that triangle and living, practicing these principles in all my affairs. My home group is not a BBA group. It's Journey to Freedom. It is a big book experience group in New Jersey. Although I've been since Zoom and COVID, throughout my recovery, I used to be involved in the BBA phone conference meetings, the worldwide phone conference meetings. And then with Zoom, I've been really involved in BBA, regular attendance at the Sunday night East Lake meeting, the Monday and Wednesday Zoom meetings. And when I'm home on Saturday nights, the Australia BBA meeting, and now Vienna. So it's an amazing byproduct of this COVID pandemic that we've expanded this use of Zoom and really created a worldwide fellowship, and a lot of people I used to hear on the phone, I've now met not in person, but on video. And the bonds have been amazing, and I'm really fortunate and love that part of it. So we're talking about step six today. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And I really like, I'm going to lead into this with what Lonnie read before from the old manuscript, where after the ABC considerations, it says, if you don't believe these three things, go back and read the book up to this point. And we're told to do something similar to that coming into step six. So at step six is we're going to deal with the defects of character, which we can only find in step four and five. So we do our inventory and we start to see, and I'm leading a workshop right now, and we're in step four and we're in the resentments, and it's an amazing process. I knew it when I was doing it myself, and it's amazing to watch people do it themselves too and see how, especially when we get to the realization exercise and then the fourth column, to see how they turn things around and really, really, really start to see their patterns of their behavior, which of course for most of us contain lots of defects, because we were driven by selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and fear. And and then when step five, we sit down with a sponsor or a spiritual leader, and admit to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And I know when I did my fifth step, and when I do fifth steps with other people, that's where while they're talking, I'm taking notes on what their defects of character are, just in case they can't see it themselves. And also, I don't want them to write it, because I want them to speak and speak from the heart and speak from the gut. So we keep track of what those defects of character are, so they can do their step six and seven. And that's where we're going to turn it over to the problem solver. We have lack of power is our dilemma. We have no power to control our feelings, our drinking, or our using, or to manage it. And our spiritual unmanageabilities are what drives our mental obsession to drink. So we have to clear those out in order to stay recovered. That's what I came to AA because I needed to stop drinking. I stay in AA because I need to stay stopped. And this program and my connection with God is what does that. Because on my own power, I'd probably go back to doing what I used to do. It's easy for those character defects to rear their ugly head, which is why we have a step 10. But I try to keep those, or God helps me keep those, to a minimum as I go through life. So to get to step six, and the key words in that step are entirely ready, not partially ready. We have to be totally willing to have God remove, not fix, but take away our defects of character. And where do we find that out? Now, as I said, we do them into step five. And before we get into step six, we have to go back and look at the last paragraph between step five and step six. So after we meet with our sponsor and we go through the entire inventory, process of admitting our all of our problems in that fifth step. And hopefully, if you've been thorough and honest, you experience what I experienced afterwards. And I see a lot of people seem, I experienced this really amazing feeling of, it was one of my spiritual experiences, like everything was just out for the first time in my life, you know? And when that person asked me, okay, and this is a key part of it, now tell me the stuff you didn't write down in inventory. The stuff deep down that you've never told anyone, that you've never admitted, that you're holding on to. And when I got those out, you know, I felt free for the first time, maybe ever. And we don't realize it before we come into AA, and we don't realize it before we do this process, but keeping these things bottled up inside of us really has an effect. You know, and it's stuff that doesn't necessarily come out in psychotherapy or anything like that. But it comes out if you do this inventory really, really thoroughly, honestly, and realize that it's a life and death process. The reason, you know, it said, it tells us that the reason for doing the fifth step is if we don't do it, we're probably going to drink again. And at this point, having been convinced of the ABCs, I admit and accept that for me to drink is to die, because that's the only place that this disease takes us, you know, and it may kill us early. It may kill us later, or we may die with it, even if it doesn't kill us. But the disease of alcoholism, not just the drinking and the drugging, but the way I lived and living with all of the anger, resentment, fears, treating people poorly, dishonesty, all that stuff really affects us. We don't realize it till we get rid of it. And once we do, it's just an amazing, amazing feeling. So after we do the fifth step, we go sit quietly for an hour and we carefully review what we have done. And we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. We go through the first five steps. It says proposals, but that means steps. And we ask if we've omitted anything. So have I been really thorough in going through the steps? Because if I haven't been, there's some things I need to clean up. And because we are building the arch through which we walk a free man at last. So then we have to ask our questions. And, you know, the BBA workbook really is great on the page on considerations to turn these into questions, personalizing it to myself. So we ask these questions. Returning home, I find a place where I can sit quiet for an hour, carefully review what I have done. Okay. Have I omitted anything? Is my work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? And what they're referring to is the cornerstone that we talked about in page 47 in step two, the keystone, which locks in the archway we're going to walk through, which is mentioned in the third step. And have I skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Remember back in the first step, common problem, common solution. And that is the beginning of making that foundation. Have I tried to make mortar without sand? Have I done am I only a big book person and no fellowship? Or am I only a fellowship person and no big book? Because you have to have all of those together, right? There's nowhere in this book that says meeting makers make it. There's nowhere in this book that says 90 and 90. There's nowhere in this book that says the program of recovery is just to go to meetings. The program of recovery is to do these 12 step, and that's why it's at the base of our triangle. So we look at that and we look at whether we've done everything thoroughly up to this point, because we want to know what all of our defects of character are. And once we've done that, we can decide whether we're willing to have God remove them. And it's important, you know, really important to note that we make sure we understand what we know about ourselves, you know, and our sponsor at the end of the fifth step would usually sit there and go over this with us. You know, here's the things that I see came up in your inventory, in what you've told me. And there's an exercise where the sponsor or you will go then, what's the opposite of my defect? You know, so if I'm fear, one of my problems is fear, courage, you know, lack of faith, faith. So we want to look at those to see where we want to get to. Now, I know there's some talk about some people say you shouldn't do that. Some people say you should. But I think it's good to know what the opposites are because you want to know what you're striving for. Even though you're not fixing it yourself, and that's important to note, because we're going to God with this stuff, right? We've done in our inventory in the fourth column how our actions and thoughts have affected everything we do in resentment. And we have four areas, right? Self-seeking and selfishness. And those are the actions and attitudes I have that have affected the way I deal with people and deal with life. And these are the defects that we're talking about. We also get down deep into what the nature of our defects is. And that's where the dishonesty and fear comes in, the delusions and the fears that I live by. And we really want God to take away our defects and the underlying nature of our defects, because we can't fix those ourselves. And we can't remove them, get rid of them ourselves. So we're going to turn them over to God and ask him to remove them. Now, again, it's really important to emphasize, we're not asking God to fix them and we're not asking ourselves to fix them. We just want them taken away, because if they're taken away, that void will be filled by something better. It'll be filled by courage, not and faith, not fear, right? It'll be filled by being honest, not dishonest, not delusional, but accepting reality and dealing with it in a spiritual manner. Not to be selfish. So then we start turning our thoughts to others, which is another part, which we'll get to later on in the 12th step, where we're told that nothing ensures continuous sobriety like strenuous work with others. So we got to get out of ourselves and get out of our selfish attitudes as well, not just our actions. So we read through the entire inventory and reflect on the defects of character. We make a list of anything we admit is objectionable. Now, am I willing to turn it over to God to help with, or am I unwilling to let it go? That's the real question. And instead of just listing words, it tells us to describe what comes to me with my unwillingness to turn to God. Like, why won't I change? Why won't I let God change it? Why don't I want to stop certain behaviors? Why do I want to hang on to a resentment? These are questions we have to look at. And if we need to, speak with our sponsor about it and figure out, why am I holding on to this? And as the step says, if I'm going to hold on to it, then I'm not doing this step correctly. And I'm not really going to get free. Because that word entirely is really, really the key word here. Am I entirely willing? It says ready, but really we're talking about willingness, which is something we talked about earlier on in recovery. We need to be willing to admit that I'm powerless. I need to be willing to admit that my life was unmanageable. I need to be willing to admit that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. I need to be willing to turn my life over to the care of God as I understand him. I need to be willing to do this inventory thoroughly and honestly, holding nothing back. And I need to be willing to discuss it with God and another human being. And now I have to be willing to turn all this over, because if I'm going to hold on to it, what's the point of doing all this? You know, each step comes where it comes, because that's the process. If I stop here and don't turn it over to God, well, I have a lot of self-knowledge now. Right? I learned that from my fourth step. I learned that from sitting with my sponsor after my fifth step and thinking about it. But self-knowledge doesn't help. Self-knowledge doesn't get me better. So I may learn a lot about myself, but But if I'm not willing to have that changed, notice I said, I'm not willing to change it. I'm not willing to have it changed. Then I'm a dead man walking. I'm not going to recover. And I'm going to be stopped here. And if that's true, is the time coming?
5 minutes.
You know, if that's true, it's not really a six-step problem. It's a first-step problem. Because if I am not willing to turn everything over to God, then I'm holding on to my own thoughts and I'm acting under my self-will. And I'm admitting, and there I'm, if I'm doing that, I'm thinking I have power. I have power to make this better, right? If I'm not turning it over to God. And if I think I have power, then I better go back and start reading the book from the doctor's opinion, because I'm powerless over all this stuff, obviously, or else I wouldn't be here, right? If I was able to fix this on my own, hopefully I wouldn't have been drinking, and I certainly wouldn't be in AA and going to meetings and doing this work and spending all the time I spend and working with others. It wouldn't be necessary. I would have already been living a spiritual life, and I wasn't. And I think most of us that are here, you know, hopefully understand that and come to that realization. So this step is about willingness to give it to God. And not just some of them, but all of them. All right. And the last instruction in this step, and it's sometimes hard to talk about the step without going to seven, but that was the assignment. So I'll do that. But the last instruction of this step is, if I'm not willing to give up something, then I pray, 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 and more prayer, right? It says here, if we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Be willing to get rid of whatever it is. And we can only do that if we're convinced that of our own power, nothing's going to get better, that we are powerless over all these defects. So if I'm holding on to something, and this is going to come up over and over again as we continue to go through it, the rest of the process, and it maybe came up before, you know, when you get to that point where you get to those amends that you're really not willing to do or holding back on, we're going to ask God for the willingness to do it. And so in order to be able to do that, you have to be convinced of the ABCs. You have to be convinced that you're powerless and that the only answer to that powerlessness is by connecting with God and turning our will and our lives over to the care of God, right? Living a God-centered spiritual life means turning our will over and changing the way, a complete change, like Carl Jung told Roland, like Dr. Silkworth told Bill, like Ebby told Bill. And in order to do that, we have to be willing and to believe that God can help us. Not only can, but will, as long as we reach out to him. And you can reach out to him in any form. God doesn't make too hard terms for those who seek him. So as long as you're willing to do that. And the amazing thing is, in prayer, and you'll hear countless stories of it. I don't have time to go into some of them now, but when we pray for things, miraculously, they seem to come. And certainly willingness to do this comes if we pray and listen to God and do what we're told by others, by higher powers, whether it's a person initially, but ultimately God. And once we do, the reward is amazing. I have lots of sponsees, and I'll just close with this, who asked me, how does this work? How does this work? How is that going to help me? How is that going to help me? Why does that happen? Why does it make me feel better? Why will it free me? And I just say, I'm here to pass along my experience, which was passed along to me from others. Just do it. It works. You know, you've heard that phrase, it works if you work it. It really does. And the reward is amazing. Because you get free of all this stuff that was bothering us, that caused us to pick up or use and caused us to think the way we used to think and act the way we used to act. And You will see the difference. People around us, the most important thing, practice these principles in all our affairs. They will see it too. But you got to keep going and be totally willing. Because if you hold on to anything, you won't be totally free. Once free, the feeling is incredible. That's the only thing I can tell people that haven't done it yet. Just do it. Don't ask, just do. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Bobby. That's a wonderful share. I appreciate it a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your day to be with us here. Thank you. We'll now open up the meeting for sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. Please limit your share to under 4 minutes. The topic tonight is step six. If you have not done the work to up to step six, as done through the Big Book Awakening, we ask that you limit your sharing to questions only. It is a crossfire meeting, so you can ask a question. If you're a newcomer to the meeting and or Big Book Awakening, we'll reserve some time at the end of the meeting for you to introduce yourself and share if you wish, ask a question. So who would like to open up with sharing or question? Those people who've done it. Anna, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Anna. I'm a recovered alcoholic food addict and I'm a codependent big time. I love the topic today. Oh my gosh. I'm going to meet with I work with a gal that's in Al-Anon, and I'm going to go work with her after this meeting, and she's in her fifth step. And I keep asking God, you know, what do you want me to do with this, with her? We have a lot in common. We both, I have a son that spent 17 years in prison. She has a son that's in prison right now. Anyway, I ask God a lot, how do I work with this lady? She doesn't really, she doesn't understand BBA and doesn't, I don't think she wants to go that deep into program work. But I use everything I learned from you guys. I use it with her. And how appropriate is it? I love how my God works. How appropriate is it that we get a talk on step six today? Because, you know, we'll move from her step five today into step six. So I do use our book sometimes too, our big book. It's, to me, our big book is so divinely inspired. And thank you, Bobby, for speaking right from it. It's where we get our tools to live life. And it has changed my life. And I love